as we bow in adoration,
and stand in reverent
awe, and stand in reverent awe.
Show your majesty and glory,
and glory. Let your anointing fall
as we declare
Lord Jesus, as the only name who saves. May the power of your salvation fill his heart with praise.
Lord, we worship you.
We worship at your throne.
Lord, we worship you.
Bridegroom and first love,
Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship you. Father, we worship you. We honor and we reverence you in reverent awe. The heavens declare your glory. The earth and our physical bodies are full of the wonders of your wisdom. Lord, we worship you, the maker of heaven and earth. As we enter your word this afternoon, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. In particular, I pray that, Lord God, you will anoint me afresh so that I will speak as I should, indeed, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction upon my heart, that's on my heart, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present and those who will hear me electronically, remotely, that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to make our wills to become more humble, to receive more light, our emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, the knowledge of the reality of spiritual things. Our bodies to be filled with life and power, bringing healing and health. Father, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will be doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, Father, to deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer, in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, I have a present truth, prophetic word for us. I will remind us that present truth is scriptural prophetic truth that is presently being fulfilled. And a lot of the word of God that is coming these days are not just prophetic, that is, they're not only just futuristic. The fulfillment has already started. God has already started working those things out. And I have entitled it Raising God's Standard. My text is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. Which many of us in this house should be familiar with. And those who may be listening to me for the first time, you need to familiarize yourself with these prophetic scriptures. In fact, the whole Bible is prophetic according to the scripture. It says no prophecy of the scripture. So all scripture has some prophetic connotation and application at one level or the other. So in Isaiah chapter 59, I'm going to read the whole chapter, but not now. For now, I'm just going to pick out the relevant verses and make a few comments, and then as we go along, we will read more from Isaiah 59, because we are actually living in Isaiah 59. We are actually living in it. I actually said this, I believe, in 2019 and 2020. You know, Isaiah 59, Isaiah 60, and Isaiah 61 are a trilogy of prophetic truth, prophetic panorama that is actually being fulfilled as we speak. It is what happens in Isaiah 59 that triggers what happens in Isaiah 60. It is what happens in Isaiah 60 that triggers what happens in Isaiah 61. It's all one discourse. And just for completeness, might I add, it is the foundation that the Lord Jesus Christ laid in Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53, by his death, burial, and resurrection, you know, and the word of God that is released as a consequence of that in Isaiah 55, 56, 57, 58, and all the things that the fasting and all the prayer that now leads into Isaiah 59 that will now trigger the glory of Isaiah 60 and the restoration of Isaiah 61. Nothing is accidental. Now, let's read Isaiah 59, and I'm just going to pick out two verses to start with. Verse 14, to start with, and judgment, I didn't hear you, is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea! The prophet screams, this is Revelation. Yea! Truth faileth, and he that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it. And it displeased him that there was no judgment. Then he goes on to talk about insertion. I'm going to come back to that later. Now, go to verse 19, which is where I take my text from. Verse 19. I'm reading from the King James. I might switch to some of the other translations as I am led by the Spirit. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. I brought this out some years ago, you know, some months ago. And his glory from the rising of the sun. It's very interesting that many of the Christianized nations, that is the nations that profess Christianity, are in the west. And in the east, which is, you know, the rising of the sun, most of the nations there are nations that don't, you know, subscribe or confess Christianity, like China, Russia. They're all in the east. The west is where America, Britain, you know, United Kingdom, all of this are. It's not accidental. The prophet saw ahead of time. So that's why in the West, they fear his name in terms of his character. In the East, the only language they will understand is the glory. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. I say, raise a standard. Oh, I didn't hear you. Say it again one more time. One more time. And turn to your neighbor and say, the standard is being raised as we speak. Now, let me give you some prophetic insight into what I'm saying. This is one of the reasons why we need prophetic teachers like myself. Of course, I'm not the only one. Many prophetic teachers. Because revelation from God enlightens the scripture. The scripture is there already, you know, but it gives us enlightened understanding. Like what I did during the Bible study. You see, if you read that Bible by yourself and you didn't have a teacher or you didn't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation where it says, you know, and they that are called, not, you know, man, there are many noble, you know, not many are called, you will come to the conclusion based on the letter that, okay, God called some people and didn't call some. Because that's the grammatical implication of the way in which it was written. But we know by revelation that that cannot be correct. Because the Bible says God is willing that all, is not willing that any should perish. So we know all are called. But you can't know that if you don't know other scripture. That is why it is one of the most dangerous things you can do as a Christian, to take scriptures in isolation and, you know, interpret them even at their face value or their at their grammatical value, which interpretation may not be wrong, but because it is the letter, but it is wrong because it doesn't have the spirit. The spirit is the character of God, which you get, understanding you get from knowing all the Bible. That's why Paul said, when I teach, you know, I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. It's very dangerous. And that's why you need teachers. That's why you need prophets that will come and expound the scripture, enlighten, bring, shed light on what is written so that the letter will not kill you. And so you will get the spirit that is life. This scripture raising a standard is such. Now, let me explain the historical context that this means. In the ancient days, when kings went to battle, like maybe Israel against Syria, you know, or against the Moabites or whoever, you know, whenever they want to engage each other, it's not like today's warfare. They will set the battle in array. In other words, all the guys, if you've seen the movie Braveheart, you know, you get an idea of what I'm talking about. All the guys with their horses, you know, they have the artillery, the people with the bow and arrow, then you have people, the cavalry, people with the horses, then you have the infantry, those who just have swords and all of that. They all stand like in a long row. The same thing happened when David and Goliath, when they were fighting the Philistines. Goliath and his army was on this side. Israel was in the valley of Elah. So they will, you know, they set, that's what they used to call it in the olden days, they set the battle in array. It is. Then at the blow of a trumpet or the command of the king in one side or the other, then the troops move forward, you know, to attack the other side. Now, the word standard here in the context is, in the olden days, what they would do is that they will raise the banner of that particular king or kingdom. They will raise it. So you will know that this is the kingdom of Israel. Then the other guys, the Philistines, their own kings, will raise their own banner, and you will know that this is the kingdom of the Philistines. So it's that a historical context in which it is written. But I'm bringing you now a spiritual interpretation and understanding of this. And it is this. What has happened is this. What is happening, because it's present truth, is in the context in which it is written, it says the enemy has come in like a flood. There are actually two floods here. There's the flood of the enemy, and then later on there's going to be the flood of the Spirit of God. You know? So, if you look at I first heard this from Kenneth Copeland, you know, the comma is put in at the discretion of the translator. In the Hebrew or the Aramaic, it doesn't have any, you know, commas. So you can read it this way, and you can read it in two ways, and both of them are actually correct. When the enemy comes in like a flood, correct. Then, like a bigger flood, glory to God, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody, the Spirit of God will raise a standard. He will raise the banner, the standard of the kingdom of God, glory to God, against him. We are in a spiritual battle. My wife and I were making a comment on this a few days ago, you know, and we're saying that a lot of people don't realize the intensity of the spiritual battle we're in. I've been a Christian now for 41 years, 42, 1979. And in these last few weeks, not even months, the intensity of the spiritual attack that has come against me has been unprecedented. I've been through tough times. I've been through tough times. My wife and I, by the grace and the mercy of God, and I've come out of them. And I'm still coming out of them. But in these last few weeks, it's as if all hell is breaking loose. home, family, nothing between my wife and I. Don't misunderstand. What I mean is that, you know, just attacks on, you know, finances, business, you know, my cars, all kinds of crazy things. A lot of it. He said he is throwing everything, including the kitchen sink. Hear me, people, so you don't get to 2022. I'm going to correct that. And what I said was not wrong. I'm going to make it more precise. So you don't get to Tabernacles 2022. He knows that's the next appointed time. And what he's going to do now, if he can kill you, he will. If he can't kill you, if he can discourage you, he will. If he cannot discourage you, he will try and get you offended. Just get out of the way. Or weary. Thank you, darling. I was listening to another man of God who, again, I listen to him sometimes. I don't agree with everything he said. I'm not going to mention his name. You know, and he just sent a message, you know, just a few, like yesterday, something like that, called The Enemy's New Sword. And what he said basically was this, that Satan is using a sword, you know, means, you know, what you used to fight, but we're talking spiritually now, that he's using a new weapon, and it's the old weapon, but he's applying it in a new way. And the whole purpose of it is to get you to become angry with God, offended. He gave his own example. His mother died, you know, they prayed and prayed, you know, his mom died, friends have died. Many good men of God have died in this last 1 year through COVID. Some through carelessness, some through a lack of knowledge, others through, you know, whatever. And a lot of people are wondering, where is God? Where is God? Finances have been hit because of COVID. Incomes have dropped. And a lot of people are... It's the same devil, but he's using the weapon in another way. The whole... That's why my wife picked it accurately. Weary. Make you weary. You pray, 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 pray. What's the result? There's still problems. There's still issues that have not been resolved in different areas of your life. So in these last few weeks, I've had like a barrage of, man, it's not just one front and about five different fronts. And the Lord explained to me, that's how I got this message. Raising a standard. Now, notice the word I used. I didn't say raise. Here, the scripture says raise. I use the word raising. Everybody say raising. Raising is present continuous, means that the standard is being raised. It's not yet been fully raised, but it is being raised. So the enemy indeed has come in like a flood. For me to explain this, I will have to go to two other scriptures. The first one is in Luke chapter 21. We're going to come back to Isaiah 59. Luke chapter 21. And I'm going to be looking at verses 25 and 26. I have shared from this in recent times, but it is prophetically relevant to this particular message. So I'm going to mention it again. It says, and there shall be signs... I didn't hear you. In the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, he uses the word here, distress of nations with perplexity. You know what perplexity, when you are perplexed, you can't understand what is happening. Has anybody heard about Micron? Omicron? The last one we heard was Delta. They're perplexing people. The UK, just yesterday, Boris Johnson has said, okay, everybody start putting back your mask on. They said, oh, you don't have to put your mask again. Said, in public places, in transportation, I said, in 3 weeks, we will review it. To find out, you know, the scientists right now, as I'm speaking, they are looking at this new Omicron, you call it? Omicron variant, because they don't know whether the vaccines that they have given will actually be effective against it or not. So they're trying to find out. So in the meantime, as everybody look, just go back to what we used to do before. Make sure you cover your nose, you know, your nose and your something, or wear your mask when you're in public, in a place of transportation, and let's see the data that we get. So they are working now. There was even an announcement, I'm talking about Perplex of Nations. There was even an announcement yesterday, I believe it was, I read it, you know, on the internet, from Pfizer, I think it was Pfizer or Moderna or one of the drug companies, you know, and they said that if this variant is not responsive to the vaccine, then we will have another vaccine ready that will be able to deal within about 100 days. They've already seen that indication that they can work on it because the vaccines they're using are based on RNA, not DNA, RNA, messenger, you know, it's called RNA anyway. So, and so they will have to go to the lab and they have to tweak it, you know, work on it to be able to deal with that particular variant. I'm saying perplexed. People thought it was over. The headlines today in the Times of London, because I get it, you know, digitally, online, was that Boris now says, we're not sure about Christmas anymore. In other words, whether, you know, we'll be able to be as free as we thought we would be free for this Christmas. It doesn't mean you won't be able to have Christmas, you will. But, you know, you just may not be able to go to as many places as you wanted to go, you know, depending on what they find. Because 3 weeks from today is almost Christmas. These are things that happened yesterday and today. I'm talking about perplexing distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. The sea and the waves roaring there is both literal and symbolic. Literally, it talks about tsunamis, you know, and hurricanes, you know. So that's the sea and the wave roaring. But spiritually, which I believe is even a more relevant understanding, is the people. When the Bible talks about water, it's talking about people. People are roaring. People are, oh my God. What's happening? Next verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after the things which are coming on the earth. That's the kind of thing I just told you now. Now, he now tells us the reason why these things are happening. And this is what a lot of people don't get. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Let me give it to you. Simple interpretation. What we are seeing on the earth, the COVID-19, the Omicron variant, and all these things, you know, including all the terrorism and all of that, are a consequence of the powers of the heavens being shaken. Observe the word powers. I would say powers. It's in plural. It means principalities. The authorities that are in the heavens have been shaken. I shared this with us in another message some months ago. What has happened is this. This actually started happening in 2014. Through intercession and prayer, we're going to get back to Isaiah 59, there's been a bombardment of the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, causing them to drop to the earth. Just like it was in the days of Noah. And just like it was in the days of Lot. You need to understand, dearly beloved brethren, that the mommy shared about Lot's wife the other day, the spiritual conditions that prevail in the time of Lot and in the time of Noah were caused by fallen angels that were now on the earth. They normally operate in the heavens. In that time, this was the time of Lot and the time of Noah. This was, you know, Noah was before the flood. Lot was after the flood in the time of Abraham. You need to understand that some of these fallen angels came into the earth physically. Now, they're spiritual. They're just like God's angels. Last week, I talked about the prayer and the ministry of angels. Angels are spiritual beings that can operate both in the physical as well as in the spiritual realm simultaneously. So, you say, well, even fallen angels can do that. That is why they could have sex with physical women, the sons of men, in the book of Noah, in Genesis chapter 6. And the Bible says, it is from these people that the great giants came. Where do you get people like Goliath from? Goliath is not of the pure Adamic stock. There's something inside him that makes him 11 feet tall. In fact, some estimates make it 13 feet. 13 feet tall. That's why all Israel was so afraid. And he had three brothers. And they had a father, the giant of Gath. It was David's men that killed all the three of them. This long after the flood. Because the genetic mutations that those fallen angels had put into the earth, you know, that's why God had the flood, to remove everybody except Noah and his family, who were of the pure Adamic stock. But even after Noah, the demons were still operating. Do you remember Genesis chapter 10? Tower of Babel is after the flood. The Bible says that they came together. They were all of one language. And I said, let's build Nimrod. Let's build a tower to heaven. The Bible says that God came down. Of course, God can see from heaven, you know, but he just came personally just to check. He said, behold, the people is one. He said, there is nothing that they have imagined that they will not be able to do. Who gives man that kind of ability? Angels. Fallen angels. I'll take you a step further. You know, I said this some weeks ago. We're in A-level now. Baby Christianity is not going to cut it. Not in this hour in which we're living in. It's not working. It's not going to work anymore. Watch this. Moses appears before Pharaoh and throws his rod down. He becomes a snake. Please, brethren, think. A snake is an animal that is alive. It has biological something. It's a proper snake. Only somebody with some degree of creative power can take a rod that is dead and transform it into a snake. Jannes and Jambres, the magicians of Pharaoh, they come and they throw down their own rods. All of them become snakes. Where did man get that kind of power from? To be able to take an inanimate object and transform it into a living animal. Fallen angel. Because they've been with God for so many hundreds, maybe billions of years. They don't have all power, but trust me, they have some power. Now, God showed his superiority because Moses' snake swallowed up the other snakes. But they were still snakes. Or you want me to ask you to do something? Try putting a rod down and turn into a snake. Then you have a clue, you know, what I'm talking about. Like I shared the other day, you know, in that cartoon by Steven Spielberg, when he's talking about Prince of Egypt, he said, you're playing with the big boys now. You know what, Pastor G, Mommy? We're fighting with the big boys now. We're fighting with the big boys now. We're not fighting with the small boys anymore. See, you have wicked spirits in heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of this world, principalities and powers. These are cadres of demonic spirits. What people are used to are the ones that live here on the earth, but they're not very intelligent. They're the ones that, you know, press you in the middle of the night, give you headache, make you sick, and all of that. They do a few things, but they're not powerful. They're foot soldiers. But the big boys are the fallen angels that were at the hierarchy of Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. Now, when those boys come on the scene, then you start seeing them duplicate every miracle Moses did. There's nothing Moses did that they didn't do except when he got to Lais. Then the magicians go to Pharaoh and say, "This is the finger of God." But before then, you try all the things that they did. Hail, all of those things. Only the big boys can do that. And that's what we're up against now. I'm reminded of one of the visions Kenneth Hagin had of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I think it was one of the first or the second one. This is 1950 or 51 or 52. And Jesus said something that I didn't understand. Now I understand it. In that vision, he taught Kenneth Hagin about casting out devils and, you know, one evil spirit came and was making like a little monkey and disturbing Kenneth Hagin while he was. Jesus didn't do anything. Kenneth Hagin was angry, you know, or irritated. Why didn't the Lord get rid of the demon? But Jesus just kept talking as if everything was normal. So Kenneth Hagin now woke up. When I say woke up, he came to his said, "If I don't do anything about this thing, I'm not going to get what Jesus is saying." So he said, "You spirit that is disturbing the thing, I cast you out. Stop desisting your maneuvers and stopping your operations. I cast you." And the demon left. And Jesus kept talking. So Hagin asked Jesus, said, "Why didn't you do something about that? Why didn't you cast out that devil?" And you know what Jesus told him? He said, "If you didn't do anything about it, nothing would have been done about it." He said, "Go and check anywhere in the New Testament. You will never find out where he says, 'I'm going to cast out devils for you.' You cast out the devil. I'll give you the power, but it's you who does it. Because it is you that has the authority on the earth." So he now told him about wicked spirits, rulers of the darkness, you know, and all the spirits. Then at the end of the vision, you know, Kenneth Hagin asked the Lord Jesus, he said, "What about the wicked spirits in the heavenly places?" Jesus smiled and said, "You take care of the ones on earth, I'll take care of the ones in the heavens." And I said to myself, I said, "Lord, but that the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, says we wrestle against all of them." Then I now realized that it was a dispensational statement. At that time, the church was not big enough. So he said, "I'll take care of those ones. For now, you take care of these ones. Then when you get to a particular level, you start taking care of those ones. That time has come." Now, the powers of the heavens, 2014, these wicked spirits in heavenly places, some of these top-ranking fallen angels, we started bombarding their territory in the heavens, and they started dropping to the earth. Not all of them have dropped yet, but a good number of them have dropped. And they began to cause what the Bible calls here the distress of nations. That's what the book of Haggai talks about, the same thing. Haggai calls it shaking. Here he calls it distress. And here in Luke, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ teaching us, he says, "For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." So that's what's bringing these big bad boys, if I can use that expression, down to the earth. And immediately after the signs, the blood moons, we had four blood moons, 2014, 2015, you know, Passover, Tabernacles. The first thing we see is Chibok girls. It's never happened before. It shook the whole world. People say, bring back our girls. Next thing, which fulfills the scripture I just read in Isaiah 59, was the Supreme Court judgment in America legalizing gay marriage. Look at the scripture I just read. Truth is fallen in the street. Let's go back to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. And look at verse 14 again, I believe it is. And judgment is turned away backward. Who would have thought? Honey, the United States of America, the very bastion of democracy, and whose currency has "In God We Trust." I don't know how many of you have read your history. A lot of us don't read. It's one of the unfortunate things of this generation. All they do is play TV game. Thank God when we were growing up, we didn't have TV game. When I was a kid, I used to read encyclopedias. I'm talking about when I was 7, 8, 9. How does soap work? How does electricity? That's what I used to read. So, these demons, as we began to hit them, they start coming down to the earth. In America, you may not know this. It's in Derek Prince's book, Shaping History Through Fasting and Prayer. And not only Derek Prince, I also heard it from some other something. The Civil War was between the North and the South. The South were the people who owned the slaves. The North were the people in New York and all that who said slavery was wrong according to the Bible, that God made all men equal. So the North told the South, look, we need to get rid of slavery. The South said, no, never. We will never get rid of slavery. And that's what caused the Civil War, the Confederate States. The Civil War started in 1861. Listen to what I'm about to say very carefully. 1861, 1862, a lot of 1863, the South was winning. They had a lot of good generals, you know, because they were all one nation before. So all the guys in the South, like Lee, who came from Virginia, he said, I will never take up arms against Virginia. So he decided to join with the Confederacy. There was another guy, Stonewall Jackson. He was a brilliant. He went to West Point. He was one of the best generals. And he was in the South. He was winning every battle. Every battle. It looked as if America was going to get destroyed, that the South was going to win. Because they had some of the best generals. God spoke to Abraham Lincoln. He declared a fast. Don't mind them when they said that the separation of church and state. What the church and state, what America said that they will not do, George Washington, was that there will not be a church of America like there's a church of England. So that the president will not be the head of the church. That's what they mean in America by separation of church and state. And in all secular something, we separate. In other words, the state does not have a state church, which is what they have in England and what they also had in Rome initially, until things changed with democracy, you know, because after during the Dark Ages, the popes were even more powerful than the kings. So the kings, you know, the state and the church were like one. So when the Americans saw the abuse of that, George Washington and all the other guys said, look, when this new nation, once we get away from the King of England, we will not have a state church. So there is no such thing as the Church of America and a state church where the president is the head of the church. In England today, Queen Elizabeth is the head of the church. Now that's what the Americans said they didn't want, and they didn't have it. But it didn't mean that they didn't have God. Because the men that wrote the Constitution wrote it under God. It doesn't mean that they couldn't be Christians. So Abraham Lincoln was president of America and he declared a fast. You can read the details, but I'll just give it to you in summary. He said, God, we humble ourselves. You have blessed us. We have become proud. We have become fool. Now we are engaged in a war that is tearing our country apart. Oh God, have mercy on us. That was the essence of the prayer. Have mercy on us and change the tide of this world. He got on his knees. Then, not only that, he made it a decree. You know, all the Senate, you know, it was declared a national day of fasting and prayer, even in the Senate and the House of Assembly. So, can check me out. Google it. You know what happened? They had that fast, I believe it was in March, if I have my dates right. But they had it, you know, in 1863. Then something happened. As a result of God's answer to that prayer, that fasting and prayer, the first major victory that the North won was at Gettysburg. Hallelujah. I'm able to have the battle of Gettysburg. All these sinners. You don't know your history. That, you know, that's why I watch all these war movies. He was at Gettysburg. Then you know what happened, Pastor G, honey? Stonewall Jackson, their best general, ran into an ambush. Watch this, and was killed by friendly fire. It was his own troops that killed him. It wasn't the northern boys who killed him. His own troops. It was friendly fire. There was a confusion. God. Immediately after Jackson died and Gettysburg, the whole war turned in favor of the North. And then they began to conquer Georgia, all Alabama, all those southern states, all began to fall one by one, one by one. That's where this film was made from, Gone with the Wind. You know, well, all the southern states began to fall. And that was how God changed the tide. And the North won, and America is what it is today, where no black man is a slave any longer. Had those guys won, America would be in bits today. What am I saying? I'm talking about distress of nations. You see, when we pray, and we do it properly, according to the Word of God, it has an effect. So this same America was the America that now brought out a judgment that is an abomination. An abomination! Judgment, verse 14, is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street. This is what happened in 2015. Equity cannot enter. Yay! I didn't hear you. Truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. It's not something that's going to happen. It has happened. People, Christians, with their conscience say, look, I cannot bake cake for you if you're having a homosexual because I don't believe in what you're doing. They take them to court. Some of them won later on. How can you believe? And then watch this. Honey, this is where you come in. Bring you in a minute. And not because it's my wife. Just what happened. And it displeased him that there was no judgment. Intercession. We've been praying, before this time. Right, the praying that caused those angels to drop and these things to start happening. So God now had to raise, and is still raising, talking about raising God's standard, a group of Christians that was going to take prayer very seriously. We've been taking prayer seriously in this church. Prayer has always been our culture. But you and I will agree. I actually asked some brethren this. Before we started Good Morning Jesus, how many of you, I think it was Laolu and his wife, I said, what was your percentage of time when you actually got up early in the morning? Like, I've been teaching it since Bridge International School, that we should all get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I even made it 5. You know, I said before 5, you know, get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray. He said, well, maybe 60% of the time. And they were being honest. And that's the truth for most of us. But when God used mommy to start Good Morning Jesus. A standard was raised. And people were now, she didn't do it. She was led by the Holy Spirit. She didn't even want to share it with the other people. She just said, look, for me, I need this as a person. And they said, look, if you are having problem getting up early in the morning, you can come and join. Then with time, when we announced it in church, many people say, I need that, I need that. How many people has it helped? Let me see your hand. Put your hand down. Before Good Morning Jesus, were you praying? Let me see your hand. But after Good Morning Jesus, are you praying better now? Is your daily prayer life more consistent? I'm going to ask some very, 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 very leading questions. You know, you don't have to put up your hand, but you can, you know, because most of us are doing it anyway. How many people now pray every day with the whole armor of God? Put your hand down. Before Good Morning Jesus, were you praying with the whole armor of God every day? Let's go and read Isaiah 59. And he saw, talking about God now from heaven, that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to work through a body in the church that will now have the righteousness that is by the blood of Jesus. And his own arm there is, you know, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So when he says about the arm of the Lord, he's talking about the intercessory ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ via through the church. This is present truth. This is something that we began, you know, 2018. And he put on, for he put on. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with you this afternoon? Say, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with what? Zeal as a cloak. What difference between now and when you used to pray alone before, or where we didn't, you know, make it systematic and all that? Zeal. The zeal you have now is not the zeal you had then. Can everybody agree with me there? Give me a wave offering if it's true. A proper wave offering. Let me see that hand. Let me see. Prophetic truth. According to their deeds, accordingly will he replay, will he repay, excuse me, fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will pay recompense. Don't your neighbor say that one is still in the future. That is going to happen. So open your mouth. When the standard has been raised. Right now, it is being raised. That's why it is a present truth prophetic message. As I'm speaking now, the standard has not yet been raised. I'm going to show you what's going to happen when it's raised. But as we're speaking now, it is being raised. How many people, I know many of us are not very educated in this area of history and war. You know, you must understand that history is God's story and God rules in the affairs of men. I don't like war and I don't like killing. Don't misunderstand me. But there are so many lessons I learn. How many people have heard of the Battle of Iwo Jima? I'll just tell you. The Americans were fighting the Japanese. So they had to be taking island after island after island. There's a particular place called Iwo Jima. So after the Americans, it was a bloody battle. You know why? The Japanese don't believe in surrender. They're not like Germans. Germans are Europeans. They don't want to die. The Japanese will die rather than as a matter of honor, rather than surrender. If a Japanese general is defeated, he doesn't go home. He takes his sword and kills himself. One of the reasons why they decided to use the atom bomb, because if they don't use that war would have extended for another 5 years. They won't surrender. No matter how many of them you kill. So in Iwo Jima, after the bloody fight, the Americans finally prevailed. So a bunch of soldiers, you see this, you know, just Google it, Battle of Iwo Jima. They had to put up the American flag. So there were about four or five of them. So they had it like that, then they were raising it up until they put it in the ground, and then the American flag was now flying. That's where we are now. We are in a bloody battle, but we're prevailing. And we're taking the standard of God, and we're raising it up. Raising up the standard. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. We read this before. He's going from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God like a bigger flood. Everybody shout it. Say, the Spirit of God like a bigger flood will raise a standard against him. Yes, the enemy has come in like a flood. He's flooded all nations. We see the distress everywhere. All nations. The great America. The great England, even China, everybody's been brought to their knees. Their economies are in trouble because of COVID. People are wondering, wow. And we thought it was over. Now we just have another wave, so maybe we have to cut things back again. Everybody's unsure. But I have good news for you. The church is coming. The glory of God is coming. Hallelujah. So the standard is being raised now as I speak to bring relief to all the nations that are presently being shaken and distressed by the onslaught of this demonic flood. What we're seeing is not natural. The Yoruba people have a sense of konshoju lason. When a Yoruba man says that konshoju lason, what it means is that there is an invisible force behind the thing you are not seeing. So what you are seeing with the natural eye is not what is actually happening. There is an invisible spiritual force behind what you are seeing. All these things we're seeing. Look at the Chibok girls, you know, this Supreme Court judgment, then the insurrection. They almost finished America that day, January 6th. That was the intention of the devil. They almost got Mike Pence. They would have hanged him. They would have shot Nancy Pelosi. What would have happened? America would be in civil war today. God forbid. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. And it's not over. Those forces are still fighting. Distress of nations. Men's heart failure with perplexity. And so God is raising a standard. Being shaken, to bring relief to all the nations that are being shaken by the present onslaught of demonic flood, to create a conducive spiritual, political, and economic climate for the preaching of the gospel to make disciples in all tribes. The purpose of this counter flood that is coming is to bring relief. The nations are distressed at the moment, terribly distressed. They are politically distressed right now. You know, this is some of the prayers I pray personally on a daily basis. You know, I pray every day. Of course, I pray for Nigeria, but before I get to Nigeria, you know, I start with the U.S., England, because of their strategic positions, Israel. These are things I mention in my prayers on a daily basis. Then the Lord spoke to me some months, about a year, 2 years ago. I don't stop there, you know. Russia is very important. One of the most powerful nations in terms of, you know, technology as well as arms. And Russia has a neighbor that she's very interested in. Her name is Ukraine. A few years ago, Putin did some adventurism because America was tied, you know, distracted by a lot of things, and entered into a place called the Crimea. In the borders between, he's always believed, Putin till tomorrow, believes that he should get back all those vassal nations that were under the USSR before. Either have them under his, or they are puppets, and listen to what he does. But Ukraine has not been like that. As of yesterday, a few days ago, he's amassing a large number of troops and tanks on the Ukrainian border as I speak. Now move to China. China too has another little state called Taiwan. Taiwan is an island state just off the mainland China. China claims that Taiwan is China and they want to occupy it. For years they have just left it because of America. America says, look, we're going to support them in times of weapons and all that. The last conference President Xi and President Biden had, you know what he told Biden? He said, don't go to Taiwan or you play with fire. Can you imagine? He actually told Joe Biden that. Then you have North Korea and South Korea. These are flashpoints. Now, of course, you have Nigeria. You have not, all these countries are flashpoints that if we don't put the kingdom, the dominion of God on those leaders and their circumstances and all kinds of things, any of them, Satan can make them, you know, cause a conflagration. And trust me, if it starts in one place, it's so easy to spread. And this is not 1939. It is not 1940. Where all we just had was Spitfire and Messerschmitts and tanks and guns. Today we have nuclear weapons. Hypersonic. How many people have heard hypersonic? Forget that. You won't even see it coming. All these are cards Lucifer is trying to play. And that's why we, the church, need to step up our game in terms of intercession and in terms of prayer to keep a check on him in all of these areas. As the standard is being raised, it will create a conducive spiritual, political, and economic climate. So what I'm going to do now is, I'll just quote them very fast. The scriptures we're familiar with or should be familiar with. Isaiah 60 is the spiritual climate. Isaiah 60, quickly. The Isaiah 60 climate is going to be a result of the intercession of Isaiah 59. We actually thought this was going to happen 2019 to 2020, but it hasn't happened yet because, you know, the church, we're still, you know, God is still working on and through us. Look at Isaiah 60 and verses 1 to 5. I won't read everything. Arise and shine, for the light has come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Darkness shall cover the earth and all gross darkness people. But the punchline here is Gentiles will come to thy light. And kings or presidents will come to the bride. This is still futuristic. It hasn't happened yet. When the glory of God comes to the church, it's going to attract. It will attract the leaders of the US, the leaders of China, the leaders of Russia, you know. And what will amaze you is this. Honey, listen to this. This is a great prophetic word. You will be amazed that even people like the president of China can get born again. You see, to you now, it looks impossible. But what can't God do? What can't God do? What will happen? I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's a conjecture. What will happen if the president of China becomes born again and spirit filled. Look at all that resource and then divert it to the kingdom. And there is a prophetic word that in this end time harvest, there's going to be a great harvest from China. There's going to be a great harvest from Russia. You know, we're looking at America and England. Those ones already know God. But some of these guys, you know, the reason why many of them are not convinced and they are skeptical is because they don't see a pure church. They don't see the glory of God, you know. But the glory of God will cause them to bow. The Bible says men of stature, they will come in chains and they will bow and say, surely God is in thee. We're not playing games here. We're playing with the big boys. But we are big boys too. You see, the big boys, watch this. This is interesting and funny. The big boys fell from the heavens where they were ruling with, you know, principalities, you know, wicked spirits in high places. But we have been exalted to the throne. So we're stronger than the big boys. Where the big boys fell from, we have ascended above. Watch that word. Divine shifting. God shifted our gear from earth to the heavens. You know, there are a lot of expressions my wife uses. She's not a mathematician, you know, but she gets it from the Spirit. A change in trajectory. You know what a trajectory is? It is the path of a missile or a plane that is being guided by gravity, the forces of lift and all of that, that determine the path that it takes. When you put spiritual forces into operation, you begin to change the trajectory of nations, the trajectory of China, the trajectory of Russia, the trajectory of North Korea. Now, I'll tell you something. I cannot tell you for certain that the president of China will get born again and that the president of Russia will get born again. And the president of North Korea, I cannot tell you that for certain. They may not. But what I can tell you is that kings from North Korea will come. Kings from China will come. Kings from Russia will come. The glory of God will be so powerful, it will invade every nation. And they will fear God. Remember the scripture I read? It says, they shall fear your name from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. That is certain. Whether these particular individuals that are there now will come in or not depends on their will and all of that. Only God knows that. But it's on the way. Nations shall come to the brightness of thy rising. They come and find out about God. Hallelujah! I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. So that's the spiritual climate. You know? Political and economic climate. Look at Isaiah chapter 2. Oh, shikefrenenges. Isaiah 2. Verses 2, 3, and 4. I'll read very briefly. And it shall come to pass in the last days. I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're in those last days now. Don't your neighbor say, we are in the last of the last days. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above what? All hills, and some nations shall flow into it. China, India, Russia, North Korea. I got a word for you. Today, Christianity has about... I'm talking about nominal Christianity, not even born again. People who profess Christianity. The Roman Catholic Church, and then all of us, you know, Protestants, Anglican, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. You put all of us together, we're looking at about 2 billion. Two point something billion. Not that many, you know. India, where the main religion is Hindu, is 1.2 billion. Or 1.3. I'm not sure of that figure. It's 1 point something. China is 1.2 about the same or maybe slightly higher. The main thing in China is Buddhism. The main stronghold in India is Hinduism. In the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, you know, Iran, Iraq, it's Islam. Islam has maybe about 1.something billion. What God is going to do, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. As this standard is raised up, is going to attract billions from these different nations to the church. And all nations, I didn't hear you, shall flow. It doesn't mean everybody will become a Christian, but it means all nations, all people groups, all nations will come. Many, many, not everybody, but many, many will come to the church, get born again, get filled with the Holy Ghost. And none, they won't stop there. They'll go on to perfection. You know, my wife and I went to China twice or three times. She went with the children once, Life for Children. I went twice. You know, when we go to China, we said, they didn't tell us the truth though. We think that China is one, and all they just do is copy everything they do in the West, which there's some truth in that. Yeah, everything is there. We went to Shanghai on a bullet train, levitating. Shanghai to Beijing is about 500 miles. We did it in about 2 or 3 hours. They are so advanced. I was watching a documentary just yesterday or day before yesterday. Me and Lau Lo, I don't know who was with me. Or maybe it was David. You know? In China now, it's a cashless society. Nobody. When we were there, you still go to ATM to go and collect cash. I still remember our taxi driver will help us, you know. But now, that was 2015. Now, everybody has a pay something on their phone. Nobody. The restaurant, you don't have to have a waiter. When you get to the restaurant, there is something on your table. You punch what you want. The thing will take the order, and a robot will come down a spiral staircase and deliver it to your table. It's not science fiction. They are so advanced. They are more advanced than the Western countries in terms of using technology in everyday life. The West, they are just doing propaganda. That's why Joe Biden is very fervent about this infrastructure bill, because he knows they need to catch up. These guys have gone. Cars, everything is there. BMW, Mercedes, Benz. There are more billionaires and billionaires in China per square meter than they have in America and every other place. It's true. They have, you know. Now imagine getting that into the kingdom. That's what's coming. But who gave them that wisdom? It was God anyway. And then they copied. You see, China did something very wise in the 1970s. Deng Xiaoping, I still remember, I was a teenager then. He came and he made a treaty with the West. He made peace. It actually started with Nixon and Henry Kissinger. They went to China was closed, you know, because of the communists and all that. Nixon said, he sent Henry Kissinger, he's a Jew. Lovely, he's still alive. He's in his 90s now. He sent Henry Kissinger to China, and they made a non-aggression pact. And said, look, we can give you technology. We can give you something. We will help, you know, modernize. And Mao Zedong agreed. Mao Zedong died. Then there's this guy called Deng Xiaoping. Deng Xiaoping came to America in 1976. I still remember the picture in Newsweek magazine. You know, when Jimmy Carter was president. And he said, okay, we open up. Bring McDonald's. Bring KFC. Bring all your high technology companies. Bring them to China. We'll give them business. We have the biggest market in the world. And they do. America is only 300 million. China is 1. Something billion. If you sell, most of the sale of Apple is in China. their factories are in China. No, I'm not done yet. So, you know what they did? 1970, 1980s, Chinese, smart. They started sending all their children to MIT, Stanford, California Institute of Technology, Imperial College. When I was in Imperial College, about half the students were Chinese. You know what they came to do? Learn everything you can from the West. So they did. And then they didn't do like Nigerians and stay in England. They went back to China. And they started Alibaba. And all these high-tech companies. Not only have they copied what they learned from the West, with innovation, they have even making things better. My wife and I were shocked. You see the hotel we stayed in China. First class. And for how much? By the time we changed the dollar into their currency, it was cheaper than anything you get in Paris, London, or New York. And yet, high quality. The Chinese are, he's something, he's God. You see, God knows what he's doing. Because God rules in the affairs of men. Are you listening to me? Ha ha, glory to God. Amen. So all nations shall flow into it. Amen. Verse 3. And many people. Notice, not everybody. But I was going to say all people. Say, and many people. I didn't hear you. Say Russian, Chinese, Korean, Nigerian, English, American, German, Scandinavian, South African, all people. Many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the perfect church, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 4. And he shall judge. I didn't hear you. Among the nations, and shall rebuke, not everybody, but many people. And they, these many people, not everybody, but many, will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning forks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. All these potential conflicts I have highlighted, God would diffuse them. To create a stable political climate for the preaching of the gospel and making of disciples in all nations, I must warn you, it is temporary. It will be there, it's just for a while. Just like the law, when you're in an aeroplane, you do not suspend the law of gravity, it's there, you're only superseding it. The minute you stop applying the law of lift, the plane will come down. The devil is not yet locked in the bottomless pit, he's still there. But the power that's coming out of the church will temporarily supersede the power of the devil and bring. That's why the Bible says in the book of Haggai, he said, and in this place I will give peace. Where? The latter house. The glory of the latter house. He will bring peace. It's a temporary thing. So that we can preach the gospel and get disciples in every nation. It's before Jesus can return. I'm going to close. How? We already studied it, but we just need to step it up. The amplified power, I didn't hear you, of united prayer in love. United in love and united in the word that they speak. Speaking the same thing. Using the whole armor of God. You know what the Lord told me? He said, if you're praying with the armor of God, and I'm praying with the armor of God, and I start, I confess my sins, I cling with the blood, I say, I have more love, joy, peace. What am I doing? I'm praying in his name, his character. And then what's it? If I do that, Pastor Andrew does that, Sister Rhoda does that, Mommy does that, Pastor Boyega does that, all of us are doing that. You know what we're doing? We're walking, we're united in his name. His name is character. So I now sought the wisdom of God by making us all say the same thing and put on the whole armor of God daily, he was bringing us into that unity that is necessary for the power of God to be generated in sufficient measure to bring the glory. United, everyone say united, amplified power, or united prayer in love. That's it. And we're always doing it, but we now need to step it up. We've been doing it, but we now need to step it up. The amplified power, I'm not going to go through that again. I went back through that last week. You know, one put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000, 10,000 to flight, you know, five will put 100 to flight, 100 will put 10,000 to flight. Different capacities, and when God combines all of them together, so long as the armor is on, and we're doing it in his name, and we're doing it in love, then the tongues and the groanings will be effective. And you and I need to step it up. You see this woman sitting over there? Her name is Sarah Johnson. She happens to be my wife. God spoke to her in 2018. Initially, I didn't really know what, you know, I didn't understand the full spiritual implication. And said, look, she wants praying. I said, no problem. I quickly bought the Good Morning Jesus, you know, online, you know, the icon and everything. And, you know, encouraged. Yeah, I mean, I've been praying that way for years, you know. But I knew that it is necessary to have a dedicated group. A committed group. Pastor Elton used to use this expression. I now understand it. Committed vanguard. Was what Pastor Elton, you know, said in the 80s before he died. That God needs a committed vanguard. A group that is committed. You see, this intercession now is not something we do once in a while. It's not something like we used to do before. Well, when there's a problem, then we all come and pray and all of that. And usually the prayers was not united because it was not done with an armor of love. It was not done in love, you know. So many of the prayers were not as effective as they should be. Some of us did pray and God heard and helped Nigeria and all that. But now, for the first time, as far as I know, I'm not God. And I'm sure there are other people that God may be raising up. But at least this one I know. Because it's under my covering by the grace of God. I yet not I, but the grace of God is with me. There is a committed vanguard of people who daily put on the armor of love, fill their hearts with the life of God, pray fervently in the Spirit. And that's what God needs. Now, what we need to do is step it up. Even after Good Morning Jesus, make sure you're walking in the Spirit throughout the day, keeping the commandment of life and love in your mouth once every 6 hours. In between, pray frequently in tongues. You don't stop. I say, oh, we've done Good Morning Jesus, and you know, put your hands there. No, 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 no. You step it up. We're playing, fighting with the big boys now. Now, finally, when the standard has been full, it's being raised. When it's fully raised, you're going to see three major things, and I close. Number one, you will see the Spirit without measure upon the leaders in Zion. They'll be just like Jesus. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils consistently, instantly. Number two, you see this in those verses. Go back to Isaiah 59. Am I talking to anybody here? Isaiah 59. Yeah. You see what he said? This is verses 20 and 21, and that's where it is. When the standard has been raised, the Redeemer will come to Zion. I didn't hear you. I would say one. That's spirit without measure. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, said the Lord. It's not the same thing. Zion and Jacob are not the same thing. You know, Jacob is the guy who had problems. Then he now changed from Jacob to Israel. He's talking about borrowed anointing. So, everybody say, spirit without measure in Zion. Then, those that turn from transgression in Jacob, say that's borrowed anointing. Then, verse 21 is one of the ones I love most.
And as for me,
this is my covenant with them. My spirit that is upon thee and my word that I put in your mouth will not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, or of the mouth of your seed, said the Lord. There will be a mass outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon all flesh, especially our children. This same promise is repeated in Joel chapter 2. He says, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Watch this. He says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men, your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Then the next verse says, and upon the servants and the handmaidens, those visions and dreams will transform them from sons and daughters into handmaidens and servants. And through them, glory will come. And I will show wonders on the earth. Blood, fire, the manifest power of God, vapors of smoke, the manifest presence of God. That's when the standard is fully raised. It's going to bring everybody. Well, not everybody, but it's going to bring a great number of the nations. And with that, we will clean up everything, make disciples in every nation, and then check out. Stand to your feet. And then check out. So right now, the standard is being... That's why this message is entitled Raising the Standard. Don't lower the standard. And that's another application of that word standard. You know, today you have standards, you know, Standard Organization of Nigeria. If you make a product, they go and find out if it's in the right standard. When the standard has been raised, the whole church will have a standard with which to compare. You can't do anything that's substandard anymore because people would have seen the standard. Lord, pour out your spirit.
Lord, pour out your spirit upon
the nations of the earth. Reveal the secrets of your heart. Spirit on all the peoples of the earth. Let your sons and daughters
speak the words of prophecy.
Your words of prophecy.
Send us dreams and visions. Reveal, O Lord.
Reveal the secrets of your heart.
Lord, our faith is rising.
Lord, our faith is
rising.
It's rising. Let all heaven sound the coming of your name.
And now there
is
a great awakening.
And now there is.
Lord, the world is waiting.
Lord, pour out your spirit
on all the nations of the world.
Lord, the peoples of the earth.
Let them see
your sons and daughters.
Let them see your
glory. That's it.
Let them fall in reverent awe.
Let them fall in reverence.
Show your might,
show your mighty power.
Shake the heavens and the earth. Lord, the world is waiting.
The world is waiting.
Let creation see
the coming of your day.
And now there
is a great awakening.
And now there is.
Now there is a great revival in our land.
There is a great awakening,
and everyone who calls on Jesus' name shall be saved.
One more time. Now there is.
Now there is.
Now there is a great awakening,
and now there is. There is a great revival.
Everyone
who calls on Jesus,
name shall be saved.
Put one hand on your heart. God has constricted and is still conscripted. That's what they do in natural armies. You go and you tell people to come and join the army when there's a war on. In some countries, it's called the draft. It's compulsory. If you don't join, they put you in jail. But in recent times, they don't do that anymore. It's free will. You can choose to join. You can choose not to. Well, the kingdom of God is not any different. God's not going to force anybody. Many of us have already joined. Some of us have not yet joined. Some of us are sitting on the fence. I want to remind you, we're fighting with the big boys now. Can't sit on the fence. There are too many tough things ahead of us. You may, because you have good parents, good pastors, be enjoying covering to some degree, but even that, you're going to feel it. You won't die, God forbid, you know, but there'll be a lot of inconveniences that could be avoided if you join. That could be overcome. Stop playing games. We're fighting with the big boys now. They're throwing everything because their demise is at hand. They know that once the glory comes, it's a countdown to the bottomless pit. They know that. They know their Bible better than you. If they had their way, they would take a lot of us out. But they can't. Yesterday, something funny happened. I was coming from Lagos. My car had a little, you know, not anything serious. And the people came and they fixed it and it was fine. And I went to where I was going. Then I was coming back to Ibadan. As I just got on the expressway, the car started having another problem. It was not the same one that they had fixed. In the middle of the... I was already out of town. This is why it's important to pray. I'm giving as a testimony. But you know, I pray all the time by the grace of God. All the people who work with me know. I pray 24/7. I've stepped it up. You know, when I have a chance, I pray. I may not do concentrated. I do concentrated prayer in the morning, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. Then in between during the day, and every time, if I have 5 minutes, I pray. If I have 10 minutes, I pray. I do that all the time. So you know what happened? Just outside Lagos, after Berger, my car just... The guy said they don't know what's wrong with it, that the water, the radiator, the car has a computer. He said, stop, because the coolant, you have to put, you know, water. So we put water in the radiator. I said, where are we going to fix this now? It was already about 4 o'clock in the evening. So we called the mechanic who does my car for me. Very nice man. He said, Pastor, don't worry. You know, got one of his boys. They said, take a photograph. Take a photograph and a video of where that thing is. So one of the SPUs went under the car and they took the photograph of the of where something. We sent the photograph to them so they were able to locate the particular part. They quickly got the part, came on Okada, met us there about 6:37. They fixed it. Everything was fine. What would have happened if it happened in the middle of the expressway in the night? We're fighting with the big boys now. But we're overcoming them. Give the Lord another clap offering. Don't worry. Put one hand on your heart. And raise the other one to heaven. Say, Father, we confess our sins where we have not had a sense of urgency about the spiritual battle that we're involved in at this time. Where I have not understood that we are dealing now with wicked spirits in the heavenlies that have come to the earth, that are distressing and shaking the nations. Father, thank you, for the entrance of your word giveth light. Oh God, come and have mercy on us. I receive fresh mercy. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive life and power in sufficient measure as we pray now. And I receive fresh mercy and grace according to your word. My hands will not be slack. Your word said we, our hands should not be slack in battle. My hand will not be slack. I will not be discouraged. I will not faint. I receive grace. I receive mercy and strength not to faint, not to be destroyed. Mercy to be faithful. Mercy to prevail and birth your glory into the earth in this hour. In Jesus' name. Neka shele priketofred. Neka tofredes. Mercy, Lord. Le priketofredes. Lombre de le cash. Nera na la la mashaliko. Father, thank you. Zaklamatolomotofredele matofredes. Lord Jesus, thank you. Raki koko klomatolosh. Lord Holy Ghost, sepria. Nengredeles. Lobredeles. Lambria Cartolos, Zele Mashele, thank you for your blood, Zele Birigidofredia, for your life, Shekikor Defresh, for your power, Lengrodelesk, Lengrodeles, Ribrodeles, Rarandos Kafria, Loprigadol Matolomastofredes, Dolomatofredes, Dolomatofredes, Dolomatolomastofresh, Zelefre, Lambrica, Rica, Remost. Nerator, Lere, Nangardesk, Loprigoto, Nangara, in Jesus' name. Then we're going to pray for the sick. Do that every day now, every message. God told me he sent his word and healed them. Healing and delivered them from that, and deliverance. They go hand in hand. There's power in the word. The life of God is in the word, the spirit and life, and that life is medicine. And the Bible says he's cast out the spirits with his word. So if you're here or you're at home and you need healing or deliverance, just stretch forth your hands towards your device. If you're at home, if you're here, just stretch forth your hand. That's an act of faith. It's just a simple act of faith. God. Father, I come to pray for everyone on the sound of my voice that is in need of healing. I say, be thou made whole in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of infirmity. I cast you out. I destroy your works. I resist and I bind you in the name of Jesus. I loose the angels of God with the seven spirits of God to minister unto you. I come against the spirit of oppression, the spirit of depression, the spirit of discouragement, the spirit of weariness. I cast you out from their souls, their mind, their will, and their emotions now in Jesus' name. I destroy your works therein. I resist and I bind you in Jesus' name. I say, be thou set free. Be thou made whole. In Jesus' name. Okay, if you're here today and you don't speak in tongues, you don't have that. To get into this army, tongues is essential. You can't put on this whole armor and the Bible says praying with all prayer and song in the spirit. If you're here, maybe you're coming for the first time, somebody brought you, or you're at home, you know, and you say, Pastor, I don't speak in tongues. If you're here, I'd like you to come here to the front. Anybody here, maybe you're visiting for the first time, and you don't speak in tongues, or it's not your first time, but you come, but you don't speak in tongues. If you just give me a wave wherever you are, and there will be nothing to be shy about. I was like that too. There was a time I wasn't speaking in tongues. You know, we all need it. We all need it. We all need it. Anyone here? Okay. I can't see anybody coming. All right, that's fine. If you are home, you need to get into this. You know, we will be able to minister to you. We have all our information is on the screen. You can call us, get in touch with us. They will pray with you, and we'll send you a material that will help you. And we'll send it to you free, that will help you to get, you know, so you can pray. Because this day, you cannot fight a 21st century battle with 1900 weapons. Let's share the grace. Thank you, darling. I want to say something that's a little funny, but I will say it. You need to encourage this woman. God is helping her, but she needs encouragement. You know, some of the clapping. No, that's not what I meant. What I meant is that join and really pray. Don't just switch your phone on. Add to the firepower. We need all of you now. We've been ministering to you for years, but we need you now. You know, there's a time when you look after your children. There's a time when your children too support you. We need you now. We're fighting with the big boys now.
If you're at home, you can get baptized in the Holy Spirit without anybody touching you. It's important. Happen to him, happen to me. You know, if you were in Maranatha yesterday, the pastor that preached came to me and told me that I got born again from listening to your husband on Church on the Air. And you heard him minister yesterday. So dearly beloved, if you're here and you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, please don't be shy. It's important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's where the power is. And that's the true unity of the Spirit.
Now, or just do this at home, wherever you are. Since there's nobody here physically, but just say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe Jesus died for my sins, shed his blood for the forgiveness and the cleansing of my sins. I believe he was raised again from the dead. I'm your child, so I come to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I receive the infilling of the Spirit now, and I expect to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gives me the utterance, and as I cooperate by doing the talking, in Jesus' name, amen. Just raise your voice. Whatever comes, just begin to pray. It will just bubble out. It just flows. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch. The anointing of Enoch. Abraham. These are heavy guys. Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn over.